that if you would follow the meal, you would follow 2.5 months, so then this kid would get off scot-free, by he would can no longer be susceptible to being a ben saramor after 2.5 months after his bar mitzvah. But since we use halacha dikra basarov, so therefore we give him the opportunity to kill him for another week. That's basically what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Zadman Fandor, you see from here, you can kill somebody based on rov, because it's rov nashim, or hukah uber legimul chadashim, that gives us the ability to extend the potential possibility of a ben saramor for another week, and that could potentially lead to din nefashos. Now again, beinenu, ain't no ben saramor, no one ever was a ben saramor, the whole thing is never going to happen, but you learn a halachic concept from this, the with this formulation of the halacha. The Gemara says, you see from here, from the fact that kach nimsa halacha mashin asina, that the shear of a ben saramor is 3 months, you see from here that hochen the din nefashos acharoi. That's one thing the Gemara says.
That's not a great comparison,
but that's not direct. You're already in Shmaitza territory. Hold on, I'm shahanging. Okay? Good, that's the first example. Just in case this was far-fetched enough, the Gemara gives you another case. The Gemara says that once they did, if you have two Eidim walk at the Beis Din, and one guy says that Reuven killed Shimon on Hey Cheshvin, and the other guy says that Reuven killed Shimon on Vav Cheshvin. Is that a good Eidus? Sounds terrible Eidus to me. Sounds like it's a Hachosh in the Eidus. One guy saying one thing, one guy saying another thing. The Gemara says, no, it's not so terrible. You know why? Because maybe one knew when Rosh Chodesh was, the other guy didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. In the old days, before they had calendars, it all depended on the Eidus that, you know, when the Eidim were going to come. One guy heard about that the Chodesh was the Uber, one guy didn't hear. So it's quite possible that the person, there was just a mistake. And therefore, the Gemara says, there's a good chance, there's a very good chance, the majority, most people don't even know when Rosh Chodesh is, so therefore you can kill the person based on the Rov. What Gemara says, if it's only a Rov, there's a chance that the Eidim really did know when Rosh Chodesh is, and they're on it, and they're really lying. They're intentionally telling us the wrong different stories. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says that we follow the Rov. Since Rov people are Tobi, Ibu, the Yarcha, therefore it's conceivable to say that these Eidim made an honest, legitimate mistake, and therefore the Halacha says that the Eidus goes on and the person is killed. Adkan Divya Gemara, in the beginning of Ben Saramara, the 8th paragraph of Sanhedrin. So what do you see from those two Gemaras? That the Halacha is that Hochin Bedina Nefash Sacha HaRoiv. So Frek Toysus in Sanhedrin, on Dav Yom HaMadeis, how could Shmuel say, "Ain holchem b'mamanacha harov"? If holchem in a foshes, kavacham, you can kill somebody based on rov. Kavacham, you can take away his money based on rov. Ad kan kushtakensis. What does Tosfos answer? Anybody know? It's one of the greatest letdowns in history. What does Tosfos say? It's in the history of Ashia. Since we spent so much time in Tosfos, what does Tosfos say?
That rov, in the case that Shmuel was talking about, that monks.
Most often we're going to even talk about the case here.
So it's only that road that we don't follow. But
right, it's unbelievable, Tysus. Tysus says, you ever heard of this clown? In Hochem Mamanach Harov, who ever heard of this clown? In Hochem Mamanach Harov, says Tysus, gash, but don't believe it. It's not true. The whole thing is not true. There is no clown of Ein Hochem Mamanach Harov. Says Tysus, of course you follow Rov. Why shouldn't you follow Rov? I, Shmuel, said Ein Hochem Mamanach Harov. He was talking about a very specific Rov. The case that Shmuel and Rav are arguing about, b'chihai gavna zot Shmuel ein hochem b'malach ha'aroiv. But in general, there is no such klal called ein hochem b'malach ha'aroiv. Ad kan divrei Tosfos. I don't know what Tosfos is talking about. I don't even believe what Tosfos is saying. What's the case of Shmuel been saying? Who bothered to look up Shmuel? What was Shmuel talking about? What's the case of ein hochem b'malach ha'aroiv? What's the dinter?
Sure.
Share the dinter. I sell you a shor. Okay? I sell you an ox. Amarich ha-shor ha-chvev nitzin nachon. It turns out this ox is a wild ox. It's a crazy Meshuggah ox. You can't possibly work with this ox because it's killing people every 5 minutes. So this ox is basically worthless as a work animal. So you come to me with a tithing and baby. You're going to make the chdos. I want an ox. I'm expecting to plow my field. It's not shy of me to plow my field. I want my money back. And what do I say to you? Yeah. I say to you, those famous ones go jump in the lake. I say to the Shchik Pachartiv. I said, I sold it to you for meat. I sold it to you at the Shachter. I didn't sell it to you to work. Comes the Gemara and says, now we have a din tayra. I'm trying to get my money back, and you're saying, nothing doing. Rove people sell oxen in this community for what? For what purpose? For work. So the Lekeach's got a good tithe on his hand. He really wants his money back. He has a rove supporting him. Rove points in his direction. He should get his money back. And comes Rav and says, in a chinami, based on rove, he does get his money back. Because Rav holds that Hochim the Mamrach HaHaroiv.
It's Shmuel who's Mechadish Das, Ein Hochim the Mamrach HaHaroiv. Shmuel's Mechadish Das, that he doesn't get his money back. Comes Tosfos and says, that's the only case that Shmuel held. That's the only scenario of Ein Hochim the Mamrach HaHaroiv. That one crazy cookie case of Ein Hochim the Mamrach HaHaroiv. But as a general rule, of course you might see Mavim based anyway. Ad kan Devi HaTosfos and Sanhedrin. What's Tosfos say? What are they talking about? What's special about that robe? What is unique about that robe? Manishtana, the robe of Rav and Shmuel, many other robes in Kol Terakula. What's the beer in Taisus? Who knows? What is unique about that robe? That robe that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. There. I'm saying that I sold it to you for the purpose of Shchita. You're saying you bought it for the purpose of Malacha. We go and we guess the, take a survey on the street, and the survey says, the burger field, most people sell oxen for the purposes of work. What's wrong with that robe?
Person who's selling, he has a
mashal
of what he sold it for.
If you got a board, it has a mashal of what he bought it for. Probably they didn't talk to each other. That's the problem, most problems in life, that people lack of communication skills.
It's just
an
issue for us.
What do you say? What do you mean? What do you mean by that? You mean it's a robe, but you really meant to say it's a robe, I told you what? Say it. Adas. Adas bin Adam, that's what you meant. The robe I told you didn't have a favorite, that's what you meant to say. Well, the manipulation robe. What's wrong with this robe, Rabosai? This is not an objective robe. Every other robe we've been talking about up until now, for this whole year, has been a type of robe. What are some of the robes we've been talking about? We just mentioned yesterday. Robe behemoths, enim chobos, enim kim yodos, right? That doesn't change in Australia. It's different in New York. That's a robe built into the Teva Olam. Well, let's say you have a robe. Most women give birth to 9 months. That's a robe that's built into the Kashbrach's Bria. What's wrong with this robe, Rabbi Sai? This is a robe of Tal Lefi Minig Hamokom Lefi Minig Bnei Adam Lefi Das Bnei Adam. Easy come, easy go. In some places, the minig is to sell animals for Shechita. Let's say, for example, a person's living in, they're living in Postville, Iowa or something, and a person sells an animal there, he's probably selling it for Shechita, probably not selling it for Malacha. So that's going to depend on the time and place. That's a terrible robe. Zokteshe Shvaitza, that's what Taisus had in for that robe. When Taisus says in Sanhedrin that people are there, it's a Shvacha robe, don't bother me, Shvacha robe. He didn't just mean it's a Shvacha robe, it's a 30, it's a 51% instead of an 85. It's a conceptually different type of a robe. It's a robe, Hatolim, the Fidas, and the other, which could change, it could fluctuate. Here today, gone tomorrow, that type of a robe is a robe that will run. And that type of a robe, Shmuel held, Ein Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov. If one takes that approach of Tosfos, that the fundamental klal is Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov, and all of Shir yesterday was all Sheker V'Chazov, because there is no klal of Ein Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov. We spent the whole day yesterday trying to explain the Hagdor of Ein Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov. We had Pnei Yeshuas and Ginas Veradims, and we had Sheir Shmaitzes. Everybody tried to explain the Klal of Ein Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov. The Balei HaToisim Sanhedrin missed the first day of Shir. They weren't registered. They missed the first day of Shir. Because according to the Balei HaToisim Sanhedrin, there is no such Klal of Ein Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov. It's a non-entity. Of course, Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov. It's just Ein Hochim B'chi HaGavna. Because it's Shvach HaRov. What do we marviach, Rabbi Yisai? If we go the route of the Balei HaToisim Sanhedrin, what are we going to gain? What reads like a charm now? What? That's the whole purpose. We're not learning Sanhedrin now, we're not learning Chula now, we're learning Bava Basu Chavtes and Aleph. We're trying to understand how Cheskes Gimel Shonim works, and the Gemara told us that Cheskes Gimel Shonim works based on Rov. That cloud the Gemara said, that reasoning the Gemara said that we felt that was a robe. We're pretty confident that was a robe. That robe is overcoming Cheskes Markama. According to the Sheif Shmaitza, that's a cinch because Cheskes Markama is just a plain of Chazak Ruba Chazak Ruba Adif. But according to the Kuntis Asveikis, that Cheskes Markama is a Muchzok. How does robe work? Lafuke Muchzok. What we really were screaming against the Kuddus HaSvegos was Ein Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov. So the answer is, good morning, there is no such klal. There is no such klal of Ein Hochim L'Mamrach HaRov. So if Tyson Sanhedrin is correct, we are home free, Rabbi Yisai. Except, there's no way in a million years we want to end Shia based on that Tyson Sanhedrin. You know why?
Because Tosfos says in the Gemara base is not conventional wisdom. That is not the general consensus as to the sugya of Nochum Omrach Harov. General consensus points in the direction, like we said yesterday, that there is a halacha in Nochum Omrach Harov. It is a real halacha. It is a true halacha. Is it the Isa, the Rabbanan, the Maisa, the Yeshua, the Brother? That's all yesterday's share. But just to fall back on Tosfos and then just to dig up the Tosfos that we dug up the Tosfos from Gilma Beit and Sanhedrin, and we're willing to rely on that, that's not the mahalach we're going to take in our shia. So we're back, Hadar Kush L'Duchta. We're back to square one. We still want to understand Rebbe Bavsa Chavtas and Aleph in light of the fact that we honestly believe in our heart of hearts that ain't hochen Rebbe Mrachan already. How is the Kudus HaTzmeikas read Chavtas and Aleph Rebbe Bavsa? I ain't hochen Rebbe Mrachan already, and don't tell me a story of Tosfos and Sanhedrin of Gibel. So I know some guys are sitting in the back and thinking, but Tosfos is right. Isn't Tosfos right? So he says, proof, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Shmuel cannot mean what he sounds like, because after all, by Din Nefash is Hochen, Acharov, isn't Tosfos right, Moshe? That's what you're thinking, right? Why is Tosfos not right?
The case is, by Din Nefash, it wasn't a role that said that it's specific to the case. It was more of
the seas. So what Moshe is saying is like this. Moshe is saying that Kushim may correlate. What Tosfos and Sanhedrin have given today, who overturns all the Shia yesterday, by developing for us the cloud that the truth, the honest, the goodest truth is that Hochel Morach Harov, Tosfos only did that because they were bothered with that bomb kasha from Sanhedrin, from those two cases. So those kashas are Nishkin kashas. You know those kashas, Nishkin kashas? Because comes the Sheikh Shmaitza already and tells us that the Emes Pshat in Sanhedrin is very, very different than Tosfos says. What he says, the Emes Pshat in Sanhedrin is very simple as well. There is a famous Kalam Rambam, who spoke about the Tzlesha, the Arichos. Rambam is a famous Kalam of the Sanhedrin. I think he even put it on Mount Temis. I put a Rambam of the Sanhedrin on Mount Temis. Comes around and says, everybody knows, Apishnai made in Yochum Dov, you need to aid him to give a guy Malkus, right? No question about it. One aid walks in the basin and says that the Reuven ate Chelev, we throw the aid out of his head. Can't give a guy Malkus based on one aid. But what if one aid walks in the basin and says, this piece of meat, this is Chelev? What's the din? No. What does it say in Gittin Daf Beis? It's Chelev. Now, 5 minutes later, two Eidim walk into Beis and say, Reuven just ate that piece of meat. What's the din? Chayav Malkus. Why? Apishnai made it Yochum Dabar. How can you punish a guy based on Eid Echad? What's the answer? So the Rambam says, what do you mean now?
The Eid Echad only establishes it as...
Comes the Rambam and says that an Eid Echad can't be made against the Maisa Veira. An Eid Echad can't walk into Beis and say, Reuven ate Chelev. That he has no kayak to say. But the Eid Echad can be what's called Isser Atzmo the Eid Echad Yuchsap, the Rambam coins a phrase in the Chassidim. The Eid Echad can create the Isser in the first place. The Eid Echad can determine the facts on the ground before it comes to the Din Torah. We're not being down on the Maisa yet. We're just being down on is there Chelevir, is there not Chelevir? So then we fall back on the regular form of Eid Echad and Bisurin. Once we've ascertained, based on Eid Echad and Bisurin, that there is Chelevir, then the halacha says, go bring two aid into proof that the guy ate the chelev. So that halacha that an erechad is nem and bisurin to be maxi chelev doesn't contradict the klal of apishnai made in yachum davar because it's something which precedes the actual din Torah. The din Torah is on the din Torah, but the case is the Moshe Beis that is on did Reuven eat chelev or not? So an erechad is not nem to say Reuven ate chelev, but an erechad is nem to be maxi case beforehand to create the facts on the ground to enable the case to proceed. So says the Sheikh Shmaitza, both cases in Sanhedrin are applications of that principle. In the two Gemaras of Sanhedrin where we're following Rove, we're not using Rove to prove did the guy violate the Isra ben Saramar or not. We're not using Rove to prove did the guy kill or not. What are we using Rove to do? We're using Rove to ascertain, is this guy Roy Lekach to be a ben Saramar? Are these Edim telling, is it possible that there was a lie? Is there a possibility that they were telling the truth or not telling the truth? We're not being done on the Maisa Aveir itself. We're not saying that based on Rove dictates that the guy violated Ben Sarah Morin. No. Shaydim dictates. Shaydim would mean that the guy ate the boss in the iron and he did whatever Aveir of Ben Sarah Morin is. Apishnai made nothing over. We're just merely using Rove to ask ourselves a preceding question. Do we have a person who's in the parish of being a Ben Sarah Mor or not? And B'chei Gav, Nehochan HaKharov, because that's called Isser Atzal Be'erechad Yuchsam. So at the end of the day, the Shemaitza says, of course everybody knows that the Klal is Ein Ochel Rav Nachar Rav. Tazen Sanhedrin is the Das Yochid Shil Yechidim. Nobody holds like that Tazen. Nobody. Of course, Ein Ochel Rav Nachar Rav. Of course, everything we said in Shil yesterday is Emes. Of course, that's true. But at least anybody holds Ein Ochel Rav Nachar Rav. So, Ein Ochel Rav Nachar Rav, on both sides, we're back to square one. What shot in the Rav of that? So let's just backtrack for a minute. What do we accomplish so far today? So we pointed out that the Gemara tells us, at least Rav is beginning of the formulation of Chesed Gimel Shana, is based on the fact that the statistical probability that the person would have been Maicha is enough to beat out Cheskas Marakama. That's all the Gemara tells us. Those are the only words of Rav. We put an Ayah Yeshiva Shalingo into that to say, oh, Rav, that's a Rav against Cheskas Marakama. Zeppelin from Dol, you see from here, Rav against Cheskas Marakama wins out. We ask the question, how come that's true? Rov beats Chesed Marakama. Bishlam, according to the Schweitzer, that's Ruvach Zachar. But according to the Kundas Asfakis, why is that true? Because according to the Kundas Asfakis, Chesed Marakama is the same as Muchsak. So we took a little bit of a detour and we said, maybe the answer to that question is that we totally goofed on the Klal of Enochim HaMacharov. Maybe there is no such Klal of Enochim HaMacharov. And we pinned that hoax on a Tysons and had it in Gimel. But we rejected that because we said that Tysons is the Das Yochid. And what prompted Tosfos to ask that is not necessarily a chacham kibbutzet. So we're back to square one. So we just pointed a detour back to our original question: what shot in this Gemara? I'll leave with that criticism. So Rabbi Say, I think the answer to this question lies in another Gemara, also in Baba Basra, back in the Hayim with Alvin Baba Basra. I think that comes in. I did. Put that also. Yeah. That's pretty good. Thank you. Comes the Gemara of Basra, Hamad Aleph, and says the following dintar. Come to the dintar of you. I say, I lend you $1,000. I'm insisting, I'm demanding you pay me back $1,000. And you respond the famous word, Harati. I paid you back $1,000 already. What's the deal? What's Allah? Who's next? Who wins the dintar?
Depends on you say how you say.
Well, okay, before you even get to Babasa Dafei, before you get to the complicated case, what's the simple case? No, that's the complication.
Shua.
Shua. Any more guesses? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, depends. Is it a Milva Bishtar or is it a Milva Bal Peh? If it's a Milva Bishtar, if I have a document that says you owe me $1,000, then you're not Nemat to say Parati. Why are you not Nemat to say Parati? Because Shtachem Biyadi my boy, right? Why, if you were really Parei Adichal, then you should have even made me rip up the Shtar, you should have made me write you a receipt. So Shtachem Biyadi my boy. So if I have a Shtar Chov, then I for sure win. There's no question about it. What if I don't have a Shtar Chov? If I don't have a Shtar Chov, then you want them to say Parati. So that's the starting Sugya and Daf Yamina. The Gemara of Abbasra, as it does, is assuming that you know that already. The basic klal is that Hamnuva Bal Peh, the loiv is never to say parati, just outright. He's never to say parati. Comes the Gemara that Hamid Aleph and Babalasha makes it complicated. It says, what's the din if this sichsuch, this din Torah is now taking place, the sochas map, maybe I lent you $1,000 for 5 years, and the 5 years aren't up yet. And I come to you and I say, oh, by the way, you owe me $1,000, I'm expecting to get paid next week. And you respond parati. Are you never to say parati or not? So comes Rish Lakish. What are the famous words of Rish Lakish? Daf Yomi, no? Daf Yomi. What is it, Daf Yomi? What is this yesterday's daf? Amr Rish Lakish, a kaveh zman lechaveh, ve amr lepratich basach zmani, ein ay neman, alavai shifra bezmanoi. Comes Rish Lakish and says, he's not neman. Because halavai shifra bezmanoi. People don't pay back before halavai. People should pay back at the right time. Nobody pays back before. When's the last time you paid back a loan before it was due? Nobody does that. Abai and Rav happen to disagree technically. They hold that people do pay back, but the nice thing, Gemara rejects Abai and Rav. We pass like Rish Lakish. That ain't on Ne'amon, because Chazoka ain't on the Perea Chayv and Besef Zman. Nope, what's my cash it was? What's bothering you? What is bothering you?
Is that Chazoka or Rav?
What do you tell me?
It seems like a Rav.
Sounds like a Rav to me. Right? We made a study, we got the psychologist again, and we pulled him out, and we got the sociologist, and we made a
Now we figured out, we've surveyed 100 people, and 91 of them said that they were never in the Lunyan to pay back a koyin before this time. Sounds like a rove to me, my friends. What's my problem now? The wife is screaming and saying, I paid back. And we're saying, tough luck, we don't believe you because I have a rove. The mom has a rove on his hands. He probably didn't play that. Probably? Probably is a chavoy. Ain't no chavoy, not a rove.
Who's sitting and chuckling in the back? Who's really happy about this one? Doesn't have enough gimel, right? All smiles. But we don't hold like that, Tyson. Nobody holds like that, Tyson. So what's pshat of this?
How do you understand?
So in order to understand this Gemara and Babasa of Ham and Aleph, which will ultimately be the key to understanding Babasa of Testament Aleph, we need a little bit of a background. And some of you may have been wondering, when I started out Shira, so I started to talk about Hebrews and Hugges, it's nice, it's cute, but irrelevant to Rabbi Basra. No, it wasn't relevant. I was trying to plant the seeds a little bit before I'm going to talk about now. Rabbi Say, very often we have spakes in halacha, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to turn. And the Torah tells us what to do. The Torah gives us a klal what to do. And yet, we're never really sure. We have to work out each klal and see, is it the Torah is Hebrew, is it the Torah is Hugger? One of the klalim that we've been spending the most time on is the klal of rov. And I threw out a question to you before we started a shiur. I said, how does rov work? Is rov b'toras bir, is rov b'toras anhaga? And I answered the question myself. And rov, of course rov b'toras bir. There's no question about that. Of course rov is in the bar. That's why rov b'chazak rovot. Why does everybody know that? So not everybody knows that necessarily. And in order to understand Bava Basra Daf Hei, which is the key to Bava Basra Chavtes, we have to take a step back and analyze this principle very, very carefully. Rov. Forget about Rov and Momenus. Rov. Three words of permission. Achiram Mahatis. I'm asking you guys a question. Achiram Mahatis. Rov paskins up that I can eat, and Rov paskins that I can drink milk, and I have to worry about it being traitors. And Rov paskins up, maybe even issues in the Nefosh. Whatever Rov does, very, very, very powerful Rov. I want to know everybody say, is it a Biror or is it an Haga? That's all I want to know. That's the whole topic I want to know for the rest of this year. Is it Peteras Biror or is it Peteras Anhaga? And ultimately, what's going to be the litmus test, whether it's a Biror or Anhaga? The litmus test is going to be, after we decide we're following Rov, is it still called a Suffolk or is it not called a Suffolk? If it works Peteras Biror, then the Suffolk is over. If it works Peteras Anhaga, then it may be mutter to do what I'm doing, but it's still called the Suffolk. Be they sveikel on afka. So Rabbi Say, we have two absolutely contradictory halachas, which the answer to this contradiction will be the secret to this. One of them is the sugya of Metzia Dav Vav Amud Beis. Who knows what sugya I'm referring to? Siri Vada. Who remembers? When did we talk about this last? Mice Mame, when was this? Last year? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? 4 years ago? 5 years ago? Every year we talk about this. No? Jerry, what do we talk about? What do we say?
You're counting them and then one of them goes back to the 10, so you don't know what it is.
Yeah, okay, okay, yeah. Good, okay, good. Close enough, okay.
So they're all,
they're all part. Okay, so I'll try to flush it out a little bit, okay. Comes the Rambam Metzia Davav and quotes a Mishnah from the very end of Maseches Becheres of all places. Talks about the following shadows. The mitzvah in the Torah called Ma'aseh Behemah. It's supposed to count off your animals. Every 10th animal becomes Asiriya Kodesh Lashem. So the guy's a big farmer. He's got 50,000 animals in there. And he's going through the corral and he's counting them off. He's counting them off. He's got 37,000 still outside. He's got 13,000 which have already gone through. And one animal decides to be a nincompoop and he jumps back in for the other bunch. Kofetz Echad Rebbeinuyin, one of the animals that was already counted, it was already nifter, it's already part of the Ma'aseh Behemah, jumps back into the original bunch that hasn't been counted yet. So now I got 37,001 animals in my barn, 37,000 of them are chayev in Ma'aseh Behemah, and one of them is potter. It's only one small technicality. One cow may be able to tell another cow, but I can't tell. They all look the same. I don't know. I have no idea which is chayv, which is what. I have no clue. What does the Mishnah B'chayv say? Kofetz echem and amenu l'soichay, kulam p'turim. They're all potter from Ma'ase Behema. Says the Gemara, what? They're all potter? That's ridiculous. Why are they potter from Ma'ase Behema? There's an unbelievable 99.99% chance that any animal you take out is going to be chayv in Ma'ase Behema. Just because one was counted, says the Gemara, no, they're all potter. You know why? Azoy shtei m'chumish, ha'asiri yekaydish la'ashem, asiri vaday v'loy asiri sofek. Ad kan devri ha'gemara. Asiri vaday v'amisir davov, asiri vaday v'loy asiri sofek. Frek the shittim kubetz, that's on the spot. What do you mean asiri vaday v'loy asiri sofek? It's the chariv. Does it rove tell me that it's called asiri vaday? Does it rove paskin up that most of the animals in this barn are still chav mais neima, so the all chav mais neima? Isn't that what rove is all about? Zok the shittim kubetz says, no, that's not what rove is all about. Zok the shittim kubetz says, af apishi yesh rove. That's the phrase, midei sfeik alay nafka. It's still called the sofek. And therefore, since there's a special gzeres hakosav called the sirivadu, the sirisofek, I am part of the gamer from Ma'aseh Behema. Ad kan divi shittim kubetz in Bav Metzia. So what do you see from here? Unbelievable klal. You see that, notwithstanding the fact that you have a rove working for you, it's still called a sofek. Rove tells me I'm allowed to do something. I'm allowed to be noig in a certain way, but rove is not mevar or anything. So when I yank one animal out of this bash, out of these 30,000, 7,001, even though there's an unbelievable rove, if this is one is chag in my sebeima, no. It's still a sofek in my sebeima. Do they speculate in Africa? I've got the mission into this. That's one gemara. With the addition of the shita. Another Gemara is a Gemara that appears in the Adam Asaf's Kedushin. What's the Ayin Gimel? What is it? Give or take? I put it on? Ayin Gimel. Comes the Gemara in the Asaf's Kedushin. It says, there's a special Zerza Kosov. Yavai Mamzer Bekal Hashem. Mamzer Vada Hudulo Yavai. Bekal Hashem Vada Hudulo Yavai. Hasofik Mamzer Yavai. Habesofik Kol Yavai. What does that mean? Says the Gemara. Sofik mamzer mutter min haTorah. Other problems. Sofik mamzer mutter min haTorah. Sofik mamzer mutter min haTorah has two applications. One is if you have a guy who's a sofik mamzer, means we have no 50-50 chance whether his mother was mazana, not mazana. So it's a sofik mamzer. Or even if you have a guy who's a vade mamzer and he wants to marry this girl, and we're not sure whether she's kal Hashem or not. So if she would be Kal Hashem would be a problem. Since we're not sure whether she's Kal Hashem, we're not sure whether she's Kshera. So only call Vade Pastas in this Mamza, call Sufi is good. So Sufi Mamza has two applications. Either of the Mamza is a Sufi or the call is a Sufi. Either one, the Issa Mamzeris doesn't give. Ad Khan Devriagra. Fektishev Shmaitza, there is no such thing as an Issa Mamzeris. We can use a fancy razzle dazzle on this to uproot the entire Issa Mamzeris. You know why? You have a real Mamzer. Mamzer, guys. Mamzer, no Shiloh, no Suffolk, Aiden, he's Mamzer Mamzer. When he comes to marry this girl, and we think she's a Bas Yisrael, wonderful, Kshera, no Shilohs, no Sveikas, wonderful, Kabal, the best Yichas in the world. Says the Sheish Mamzer, really? It's the best Yichas in the world. How do you know she's Kshera? How do you know she's, how do you know that who her father is? How do you know? Comes the Gemara in Maseches Chulin, the first parak, and says, ultimately you only know who a person's father is based on Rav. It's a Rav. Before the end. It's a Rav. It's only a Rav. So, how did the Torah formulate for us an Isra of Mamzeris? How could they, what's the case of Mamzeris? A Mamzer can't marry a girl. Can't marry a Bas Sola. You know the Mamzer of the. Why can't he marry her? She's only a Suffolk call anyway. So what do you see from here? What's the obvious conclusion you have to draw from here? That since, based on Rome, she is most probably not a Mamzer. She is most probably Kahal Kosher. That's called Kahal Kosher. And that's no longer called a Suffolk call. No? What's the contradiction, everybody say? Make up your mind. When you have a Rome, is it called a Suffolk or is it not called a Suffolk? And Huchas Maisa Behema, so... it's blight the Sofik. It's still called the Sofik, and therefore you're entitled to the Torah of Asir Vaz or Asir Sofik. Over Hilchus Mamzeros, it's not called the Sofik anymore, and therefore it's called the Kalvadi, and it's Mamzeros' Kal. So which one is it? Decide. It can't be both. What the Sheish Mayim is really pointing out, in between the lines, is that Chazal themselves are giving us contradictory indications as to how Rov works. Does Rov work b'Torah as Birur, or does Rov work b'Torah as Hanhaga? The din of Maisa Behema seems to be pointing in the direction that Rov works b'Torah as Hanhaga, because it's still called the Suffolk, and therefore Suffolk Maisa, but the Gemara Ben Zayir seems to be pointing in the direction that Rov works b'Torah as Birur, and therefore it's not a Suffolk anymore, therefore it's called Haravadai. So which one is it, Rabbi? You say, which is the real way Rov works? Does Rov work b'Torah as Birur, does Rov work b'Torah as Hanhaga? So what's the answer to this question? Who remembers from Sheish Maisa? No? Someone else besides Jeremy? Who? So come to Sheish Maisa. When are we talking about it? What's the talk about this last year? What? That was the beginning of the year. That's a long time ago. Okay. We have 50 guys from West Yeshiva. We're all the hands, no? So come to Sheish Maisa and says, the answer to this question is very simple. It's a very simple, brisk answer. There are two kinds of roves. Not all roves are the same. Conceptually, there are two different types of robes. What do we mean by this? So this is based also in the sugya in the beginning of the Seder Chulin. There's what's called the Ruba de Issa Kamon, and what's called the Ruba de Leisa Kamon. A Ruba de Issa Kamon means that I have all the facts in front of me, I just do all the simple math in front of me, I have 10 bushes to it. None of them are fish, one of them is straight. I find a piece of meat on the ground, I want to know where they come from. Did it come from the Ozark? Did it come from the Ozark? Madan? Come on. So, did it come from store kosher? Did it come from store which is treif? So, what?
Borzed.
Borzed. That's less tricky. Borzed. So, did it come from? Or did it come from Borzed? So, I do the math. I count up 10 kosher stores, 1 treif store. That's called the Rubid de Issa Kamon. Okay, everything's counted up. Cheshbon, very simple. What's Rubid de Issa Kamon? Rubid de Issa Kamon means most women give birth within 9 months. Most animals are not treifers. Did anybody sit down and actually count every single woman in the world to figure out who gives birth in 9 months or not? No, we see most women are not running to the hospital in the 7th month. Most babies are being born at the end of 9 months. Most animals are not dropping dead on the spot because of treifers. So the odds are most animals are not treifers. That's just called the Ruba de Leisa Kamon. No one ever sat down. It's not a type of a numbers you can actually work out. But statistically points in this direction. That's called the Ruba de Leisa Kamon. Two different types of rules. Comes to Sheish Mayim and says, not only are they different, but they are conceptually different. They are fundamentally different. Ruba de Issa Kamon, where the miut is lefadenu, where we're staring at the trade store in front of us, we're looking at the store that says Borzet on it, how could we say with a straight face, we know with 100% conviction that this piece of meat that's sitting on the floor on Cedar Lane came from the kosher store? How do you know? What do you mean you know? There's a straight store staring in the face. What do you mean you know? You're a Navi, how do you know? The answer is you don't know. The Torah says you're allowed to follow right. When you have a Ruba de Issa Kamon, it has the limitation that it cannot possibly be Birur because it has a problem to it. The problem, the deficiency of the Ruba de Issa Kamon is that the Miut is Lefaneinu. When the Miut is Lefaneinu, it has to work with Torah's Hanhaga. There is no way for it to work in any other way. That's a Ruba de Issa Kamon. A Ruba de Leisa Kamon, Zuck de Schmeitz, it works very different. Ruba de Leisa Kamon, there's nothing. No statistics before something that's sitting in some guy's PhD somewhere about someone who made a statistical study as to how many animals are treifus or not. Nobody knows what any of the numbers are. There's nothing with funny, nothing staring in the face. Zuck de Tarek Adesha, Achiram Mahatas, that's Bataras. Birur, not Amir of Dinavoka. This is the famous Yesodi Yesodis of the Sheish Mayim. We've said this over 100 times in the last 5 years. This is the Yesodi Yesodis of the Sheish Mayim. And therefore, we understand the apparent contradiction between the two sugyas. How come when it comes to Suffolk of Bechor, I'm sorry, Suffolk of Maisa Behema, we say it's still called the Suffolk? What kind of a robe is that? Kafetzecha Menuyin. What kind of a robe is that? What's Kafetzecha Menuyin? Ruba de what? He said, come on, everything's here. I counted up my hand, it's 2001. That's Ruba de Issa Kamon. What's the robe that most people are kosher? Most people's mothers weren't mezana. Most people are not mamzerim. That's a Ruba de Issa Kamon. Nobody counted it up. It's not checked. It's Ruba de Issa Kamon. So up to Shmaita, that's why in Bava Metzia Davov it's called the Suffolk. And in Kedusha, Dafayim Gimel, it's not called the Suffolk anymore. That's the Yesodis. That's the absolute cloud godel in terms of two different types of robe. That's the Shmaita's Yesodis. Rabbi say, we're going to take this yisod of the Sheish Maisa, we're going to steal it, we're going to change it, we're going to use it for our purposes, and we're going to use it ultimately to explain what's really going on, both in Bava Basa Daf Hei and in Bava Basa Daf Chaf Tes. We're going to take the following approach. We're going to say, the Sheish Maisa is 100,000,000% correct, but there are different types of robes out there. Some robes are B'Torah Sanhagas, but other robes are B'Torah Zbiyah. There's no shayla whatsoever that he's right. His analysis is 100% correct. Some robes are B'Torah Sanhaga, and some robes are B'Torah Zbiyah. But what is not correct is how he broke it down. That Rubid Issa commands are one way, and Rubid Leisa commands are another way. That's not correct. There is no difference between Rubid Issa commands and Rubid Leisa commands. Both the Rubid Issa commands of B'Metziyah Davar and the Rubid Leisa command of Kedushin, Daf, Ein Gimel, both of them are B'Torah Sanhaga. Both of them are Chidushi HaTorah, Mitzvekel and Afka. It's still called the Safek. I'll explain to you later why I'm not bothered with the Mamzer Shaila for a different reason, but not for now. The Sheish Maisa's Yisod, which he invoked to distinguish between these two Gemaras, we're going to disagree with. But we are going to take his Yisod, and we're going to say that there are certain robes, which we have not yet identified which ones, we don't know what the kaveh of those robes are yet, there are certain robes that his lumbus is corrected, and certain robes fall into the category of birur, not of anhaga. So I got my work cut out for you. Why? I have to first prove to, I have three different things to prove to you. First of all, I have to, if I'm going to throw out the Sheish Maisa, I have to explain away his rayas, I have to explain to you why I'm not bothered with his Olam Zeira story. That's a technical issue. It's not the main, that's not the main show here. I have to show you what type of rove meets this new category that I just made up called Biror. What does it have to have? What does it have? What are its, what are the characteristics of such a new kind of a rove? And then, the hardest part, is to try to take that new robe that I just created for you and show you, what in the world does that have to do with anything? How is this going to help me? And the hey, how is it going to help me in the process? So I admit, I'm made it right now, I'm made it because I have a lot of work cut out in the sugya, but we only started the sugya. So again, the job is, our job is to try to figure out the Basra Chav Tes. That's the only thing we're interested in right now. Everything else that we're just pulling out of a hat is just to get to that goal. That's a long-term goal. Goal is to understand Chav Tes and Menalach. Understand why is it that Rov beats out Cheskes Marakama. According to the Schweitzer, there was never a question to start with because of his understanding of Cheskes Marakama. According to Tyson Sanhedrin, there was no question to start with because of his understanding of Hokum Mamacha Rov. I did not want to go either one of those two routes because I don't think either one of them is the Pashtas. So I want to go with Enoch Mamanach Haroi as a real honest to goodness cloud. I want to go with the goodness of Sveikas that Chesed Marakama is Mamish part of Muchsuk. I want to have my cake and eat it, and I still want to explain to you why Rove is going to work. So what I have to do is, rather than go to the root of the Sheish Maisa and revamp what Cheskes Marakama is, or rather than go to the root of Tyson Sanhedrin and revamp what Enoch Mamanach Haroi is, I got to revamp everything for you. I got to revamp all of Rove for you. So that's what our job is on Sunday. So Mi'at Hashem on Sunday, we'll try to get to a better understanding, now that we have all the background, all the information, to try to create this new category of rove. We're going to try to identify what is a rove that's a B'Torah's Birur, and then we're going to try to understand how that application, that rove, is going to make any sense in terms of both of the Basa Zafei and of the Basa Chav Testament. Okay, Chumash, right? Thursday. Thursday, I'm going to give, we usually stop here, it's early for some Chumash.